Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley Today each weekday from 12:30 to 1 on the River 953, I also produce podcasts. And I'm excited to introduce you to a new podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every week, we'll be releasing a new podcast where we interview different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll even get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. We're going to talk to linemen, energy advisors, board members, even the CEO. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode as they're released on our website under the podcast tab at theriver953.com, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify, anywhere you listen to a podcast. Just search for We Are REC. We are in the studio with Cindy Music. She is the Director of Vegetation Management Services with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. And Cindy, you are going to give me kind of the overview and the rundown of REC's vegetation management system, which sounds like a really complicated thing, but it's basically trees, right?
And this is such a great opportunity. I love to talk about trees, but I also like to talk about everything that REC does to manage trees and vegetation around power lines. So yes, vegetation management is kind of an umbrella term for all these different ways that we trim trees and get rid of brush and things around power lines. Basically, on any given day, year-round, rain or shine, usually 10 hours a day, Monday through Saturday, we have upwards of 100-person army out trimming trees around power lines.
Wow.
And what do they use? They use bucket trucks. They use really neat pieces of equipment called giraffes that have a telescoping arm with a saw on the end of them. They use bush hogs. They use chainsaws and chippers. So it's guys and a couple of girls on the ground. It's guys and girls in the air. It's guys and girls that are knocking on doors and talking to property owners and explaining what we're doing and how we're going to access their property and why.
Because that's the other, right. I would guess sometimes homeowners are like, whoa, I didn't think there was anything wrong with that particular tree or whatever. You have to explain to them, well, here's where the issue is.
We do. So we have 8,000 miles of overhead right-of-ways.
Ouch, that's a lot.
Out of 17,000 miles of power lines. We cover a swath of 22 counties and almost 100 substations. So we trim all the trees on a five-year cycle. And clearing the rights of ways is just as important as trimming the trees on the side. Because think about when a power line does come down. And sometimes they happen on bright, sunny days. But more often than not, it's on a rainy, snowy, you know,
nasty weather day.
Right. And so our crews need to have access to get down the rights of ways. And trees grow. And brush grows. And briars grow. And they grow rather fast in our area. We're blessed to have really high amounts of precipitation, especially the last 2 years. Last year was the wettest year on record. And so everything grows really fast. And so we're when we go through and trim, we're trimming for 5 years of growth. So sometimes people look at it and they go, oh my word, why did they have to do so
much? You can see the impact when you're done,
right?
Because we've been looking at the growth for 5 years,
right?
And now it's like, wow, that's a haircut to the nth degree.
Right. And some species, like a cedar or holly or a dogwood, will grow very little in those 5 years. They'll grow inches per year. They're still going to grow maybe a foot, you know, by the end of the season, or excuse me, the five-year cycle. Some trees, like a maple, will grow 6 to 7 feet a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just dependent on species and slope and site characteristics and moisture amounts, you know, that we've gotten over the previous growing cycles. And we also trim the trees so think of when weather does happen, you know, inclement weather, trees move in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not just trimming for them to be right up to the wire, when we're done, we want them to be able to move in that wind and not impact the
wire.
You
want some leeway so right. that if
and
they're
cause
moving.
That fault.
Because I know that recently you have done some tree trimming on Reliance Road, which is my mm-hmm. path to mm-hmm. the radio station every
right.
day. And I can see the V's in the trees. And yeah. I've always wondered why. That seems like it would be easier to just cut the tree down. Mm-hmm. But that's not really what you guys are about either, because you're mm-hmm. actually arborists and you're foresters and things like that. So you know.
Right.
The best way to go at trimming some of these trees.
Right, right. So we follow nationally recognized standards. They are ANSI A300, that's the American National Standards Institute, in regards to tree pruning. And so that says what you need to do when you prune a tree is directional pruning. To get technical.
get in the weeds, so
right,
to speak.
Right, let's get in the weeds. What that means is when you prune a tree, you're pruning back to a branch that's going to take over the growth of the branch that you're pruning from. And so you're directing the tree to grow away from the power line. So when you see those L's and V's and all these different cartoonish type shapes, yes. Would it be simpler for us to cut the tree down? In some cases, yeah. And in some cases, that's what we'll do with the coordination of the property owner, of course. But often, you know, we want more trees than not, because trees do help us with energy savings mm-hmm. and with a wealth of different environmental benefits that we can talk about, and social benefits and economic benefits and so forth. So sometimes it's easier to cut it down, but more often than not, we're going to prune trees. But when we do go in and prune, we do not want to have issues for 5 years. So we're definitely going to get that adequate clearance around the wires. And again, it's a case by case and tree by tree and conductor by conductor basis. We'll do more, for example, for a line that has three phases, three power lines on each pole mm-hmm. versus one that has one.
Which makes sense.
Right.
Because you're looking at impact levels.
Right. Our sub-transmission lines that are a little bit higher voltage, they serve thousands of people from substation to substation. So same thing. We're going to prune those for a little bit more than we would just a single phase that would serve three or four people.
So when you're talking about these crews that are out there doing the actual trimming, are they all arborists? Are they linemen? Who are the people within REC that are actually in these bucket trucks doing the actual trimming?
I love to talk about these folks because they are one of the most important teams that we have at REC. So these are called qualified line clearance tree trimmers. So the people that you see up in the buckets and the people that you see in the bush hogs and the people that you see running that piece of equipment I told you about, the giraffe, they have had special training to work around power lines. And often their equipment is insulated, not to the extent that our bucket trucks at REC are insulated, but they know what they're called minimum approach distances are. They are professionals at what they do. They are truly heroes on a daily basis. They literally affect every day people's ability to turn the lights on and keep them on. They work in the heat. They work in the rain. They work in the snow and the ice. And when things go bad and there's a bad weather event, they're the first ones out, along with our linemen. We have special types of bucket trucks that they're in. They're called Bigfoots.
Ah,
isn't that fun?
That is cool.
Yeah. They're called Bigfoots because they have something called a high flotation tire on them. And what that is they're up to my chest, basically, height-wise and width-wise. They're really wide. And it's kind of like, think about your refrigerator on your kitchen floor. It spreads out the weight.
Mm-hmm.
So the chances that those tires are going to cause ruts in a member's yard or on their property are lowered because the tires are so fat.
You
so
guys really do take everything into account.
We
that
do.
Would not have
we
ever
do.
Occurred to me.
But it also makes access for our crews much easier because these trucks can pretty much go anywhere. Again, when there's weather, this is who our linemen want out first because they know no matter what,
they're going to get in.
Bigfoots can get in there. Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned that they're out in the heat and the snow and all of the crazy weather. The one thing that I always get concerned about is they're also in traffic. Right. Because you're working along roadways where I'm speeding to get to work or somebody right. else is texting and maybe not necessarily paying attention. Mm-hmm. You guys are out in the path of moving vehicles mm-hmm. a lot mm-hmm. of times when you're doing some of this
right.
maintenance.
Right. That's such an excellent point. That makes it even more hazardous. So not only are they up in bucket trucks working around energized power lines with trees that also don't necessarily follow the rules. You know, trees have all kinds of reasons that they fail, and the branches can snap and move back and forth. And sometimes, you know, the roping isn't exactly what they expected. You know, so trees react different ways. But you're right that they have all kinds of traffic in many instances. So yes, please follow the signs. Please give them the right of way. Pun intended. And if a truck happens to be working on your road and it's a single road, for example, just a dirt road or what have you. I hear this from members from time to time. I had to turn around and go back home because I couldn't get out because, the tree trimmers were working, and sometimes we'll have two or three trucks on that road. No, we're not here to inconvenience you. Just pull up and either beep. And you may have to lay on the horn quite a bit because chippers and chainsaws are loud.
Noisy.
Right. And we will scoot over, of course, and let you by and out to do what you need to do for the day.
And the other thing I will say, because I got, I don't remember if it came through the Smart Hub app or if it was an email that I got, or it might have even been something in the mail, but I got a heads up that you were going to be in my neighborhood doing some tree maintenance and pole inspections and things like that to be on the lookout and know there mm-hmm. might be some REC people, you know, milling around doing some things,
right.
which I think is great, too, to let me know, okay, I need to watch and maybe not cut it so close when I'm leaving the house to get to work. Give myself an extra 2 or 3
right.
minutes just in case.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great point as well. How our department does this, because we do impact, you know, about a fifth of our members on an annual basis, is we'll send out postcards, and it's just a simple yellow postcard, and it says, we are going to be clearing your trees and your neighbor's trees and all the trees on your circuit and trimming brush over the next, sometimes it's several weeks, sometimes it's several months, depending on the length of the circuit. And if you have any questions, call this number. And so that, I'm kind of jumping ahead a bit, but if you have any questions, call that number. Give us a little heads up, because we would love to meet with you and talk about your property and talk about the tree that you're concerned about. But the best time to do that is in advance. And so those postcards usually go out at least several days before we start on a circuit. But we're tree people. So we get that your grandfather planted that tree and, you know, you want special care taken with it. Our tree trimmers do take good care in their work, and they take a lot of pride in what they do for great reason. If there's something you're particularly concerned about, we have 2 certified arborists or foresters in each office, sometimes 3. And one of us will come out and meet with you personally and talk about your tree. And all you have to do is call that number that's on the postcard.
So, Cindy, what happens to the trees and the branches after your crews are in? They've worked on a certain area. Do they take everything away? Do you ask the homeowners? Do they want to keep it? I mean, if I have a big pile of brush and I want you to throw it in your chipper, I mean, how does all of that work once the actual trimming is complete?
Right. The answer is, it depends. So if we, for example, take down a dead tree, everything stays on site. We cannot move or remove wood. We have no means to dispose of it. And if we try to chip dead branches through a chipper, they're going to mess up our chippers.
Oh.
So everything stays on site. We'll get it down and we'll get it safe, but it belongs to the property owner. Same thing happens during storms. If we are out and we have to take your tree that fell onto our line off, we're going to leave it there for you.
Okay.
Fair enough, right?
Absolutely.
We won't charge you for that in the least, of course, but the brush and wood and all that belongs to you. Now, where it changes is during our routine maintenance process. So if you get a yellow postcard saying we are on our way through and we're going to be trimming and clearing, then if we are just trimming branches, we're going to chip them or we're going to bush hog them. If we're chipping, that normally happens within 2 to 3 days. Those are typically trees in your front yard in a mm-hmm. neighborhood. If we're in the woods, working in the woods, we try to bush hog within the same week, so 4 or 5 days. Sometimes it'll rain. and we don't want to go in with the bush hog and make ruts. Mm-hmm. So we wait until it dries out a bit, and then we'll come back and chop it all up nice and fine. If we take a tree down, and this is where I want you to know that you have options, and everyone likes options,
yeah,
right? So we have a program where we can cut the tree and just notch it and drop it into the woods for you. And we can cut it up into 4 or 5 foot lengths for firewood, you know, whatever you want to do with it. It's up to you. It's your tree. But if you are not interested in messing with a bunch of wood and you like raptors or other wildlife that uses trees as dens, we can take the top out of the tree and leave it at different heights. And the purpose of this is to create wildlife habitat, meaning making den trees. So we'll do that. And you can decide, you know, well, I want it 12 feet or I want it 15 feet. And whatever height you decide is great, as long as it's not going to fall onto the lines.
Right.
When it does eventually fail.
That's the whole point, your problem you're trying to avoid.
Right, right. But we also, you know, we're all into wildlife too and sustainability and anything that we can do to help raptors. And it's kind of neat because you'll come back 2 or 3 years later and you'll see where those den trees are. And you often see owls or hawks or sometimes eagles hunting on the rights of ways because it's perfect habitat for little voles and snakes and so forth.
So in that range then, do you work with community groups? I mean, where does all of the wood chips go? Because I know that makes a really great natural mulch. It's good for compost. Do you work with a homeowner to maybe leave that there with community groups, master mm-hmm. gardeners and, mm-hmm. and Arbor Day people?
We do. And most of our members already know this. But if you don't know this and we happen to be working in your neighborhood, you can call in and request a load of wood chips, and they are great. Here's the thing. You don't want to put them next to your house because what comes in trees sometimes?
I know this.
Termites.
Yes,
right.
I know this because my husband is a pest control person.
Oh, okay.
So, yes.
Okay. So first of all, you want to let them sit and let the microbes do their thing and make them nice and soft and productive and useful. So you don't want to put fresh green chips onto your trees or onto your
flower beds or
right,
things like that.
That right. kind of thing. Anything. I mean, if you're just putting them on trails through your woods, you're fine. But yeah, so if you want chips, now we can't obviously drive across town just to bring you chips. And we do have members that call in every spring and say, I would like 16 loads of chips, please. And and that's great, but we can't necessarily accommodate that. So if we're working in your neighborhood, we can bring you a load of chips. Now, I will say that it's 9 cubic yards. And if you have no idea what that means, it's about the size of the studio.
So it's a fairly large
area.
3 foot
by 3 foot by 3 foot times 9. There's a lot. Yeah. And they can probably work with you to, you know, put it in a area where, you know, several neighbors can share or what have you. But
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So that it can be community wood chips.
Right. Right. Yep. But we are happy to share. Just call early because they are in high demand and it's definitely first come, first serve.
Well, that's good to know. I've always wondered about that. What's the difference between when I see REC out? I'm assuming you're clearing your power lines, but sometimes I see other tree companies that look like they're doing trimming of some sort. Do you guys use contractors? Are they there on behalf of, say, VDOT, or maybe somebody wants to have their own trees done in their mm-hmm. yard and it just looks like they're doing something alongside the roadways?
Right. All of our work is done by contractors. And I should mention that if you have 8,000 miles of line and you have 5 years to clear the entire system, we're talking about 1,600 miles of line that we need to clear on an annual basis.
Wow.
Now, this year, we are clearing even more. We have a goal up around 2,000. And that's because over the last couple of years, you may have noticed that unemployment has dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Economic development has picked up. So a lot of folks are employed and the economy's doing great, which is wonderful. The bad news is that for this type of work that's so difficult and challenging and...
You need highly skilled labor for this.
You do. You do. And so we've had some issues with keeping our contractor crew staffed. And so we have a little catch up to be doing. And that's what we're doing this year to get more trees trimmed and lines cleared so that we're completely back on that 5-year cycle by the end of the year. Now, you also mentioned, let's see, VDOT. Yes, VDOT has tree crews. They have contract tree crews. They have in-house crews. They clear for site clearance and for danger trees along the highways and myriad of different reasons. Yes, property owners hire tree companies every day. So they're out doing work. We have 5 contractors that are working for us in the Front Royal area. We have Pittman, which is a Front Royal local tree company. They came on about a year ago.
Oh, I didn't know they were local to Front Royal.
They are.
I knew who they were, but they I didn't know that's where they were based out of.
Yeah, we also have Lewis Tree Company. That's the guys are local. The company's based in New York, but all the employees are local. And we also have Wolf Tree Company, which again, the guys are all local. They all pretty much live on our system or close by, and they're based in Knoxville. They're a division of Davey. So that's who's working up in Front Royal.
And that makes sense too, because you mentioned earlier that they are sometimes the first to respond in storm outages and things like that. So you want to make sure you're working with companies that employ people that are living close enough that when something happens from a storm, they can get on site very quickly and aren't having to come from New York or the Carolinas or somewhere else.
Right. Yep. Often our workers are also members. So when I mentioned earlier that we're all on the same team and we're all working together, our contract workforce is also member owners in a lot of cases as well, which
so
we like.
We've talked a lot about the trimming of trees and vegetation, but that's not the only thing that you guys do. I mean, that's kind of the one that we probably see the most, but you guys go out and about into the community and do things as well. Like you'll come, if I'm not mistaken, you'll come to my house and say you should plant a tree here, but not there.
We have a lot of information on our website.
Okay.
Great information about, we call it the right tree in the right place. That's a National Arbor Day.
That's what I was thinking.
Phrasing.
Of.
Yes. And we have list available about what trees are great right under the lines. Some are okay, some are not. And that's the first part of educational I always tell people is, first of all, look up. Second of all, call UMass Utility 811.
Oh, yeah.
And thirdly, think about what the tree is going to look like. Not today, because it's going to be, you know, a little tree in a pot, maybe. You know, or a little tree that's ball and burlap that you pick up at a local nursery. Think about what it's going to look like in 20 years. And if you're not a fan of those L-shaped and V-shaped trees, or trees that unfortunately have to be topped, which is something we never want to do, but it's sometimes inevitable if you have, for example, a tree with a, again, technical term, single terminal lead, like a white pine tree that goes, it's kind of a conical shape and looks like a triangle. Well, if that's planted right under the wires, it's never going to reach its full potential. It's always going to be a weird shape because we have to keep it out of the lines.
I remember you guys had your member event a couple of months ago, and you were giving away trees. And Jeff Henson was here and was talking about the event and what these trees were and the fact that they only get so tall. So that's why it's okay to be able to plant them under power lines, because they're never going to get tall enough to interfere. Those are things that you should look at and think, okay, where am I going to put this? If it's going to be one of these, you mentioned earlier that maple trees will grow very, very quickly. Not something you want to plant near a power line, maybe somewhere along the back part of your property or something along those lines. Just kind of being educated, I guess.
Right. And you brought up a great member event. And I'd love to talk about giving away trees for a second. Because for the last 3 years, since 2016 through 2018, REC gave away 250 trees. And we did it through a program through the National Arbor Day Foundation called Energy Saving Trees. So we had very small events, and we invited local members, and they went on Energy Saving Trees website and chose the site where they were going to plant the tree based on the maximum energy savings. So kind of a neat program. So that was the last 3 years. This year, we were having our event up in Frederick County, and we had invited lots of folks.
It was really, really busy. There were a lot of people there that day.
And so we were so excited, and we thought, what could we do, really just audacious big goals this year? Instead of just doing 250 trees through this Arbor Day Foundation, which was great, why don't we think big? So yeah, this year we bought our own trees, and we bought trees that it really didn't matter where you planted them. You could plant them next to your house. You could plant them under the power lines. You could plant them in the backyard. And these were red osier dogwoods. So they were a native tree that had year-round visual interest. They have these beautiful red twigs in the wintertime. They have red leaves in the fall. In the spring, they have a little white delicate flower.
Mine have white flowers.
Do they?
Yes.
Yeah. They're really pretty.
They were struggling with that 100 and some odd degree heat that we had for a while. But yeah, right.
So we went big this year and we did 500 trees. So hopefully they are all on the ground and getting watered weekly in the area. And we were so excited to do that. And that kind of brings up some other things that we do annually. What better way to get children interested in trees than to do tree planting at their elementary school? So we did four of those this year. Two were up in Clark County. So kind of local with the fourth grade class. I think that tree planting's on the SOL. So it kind of segues nicely right into, you know, a standardized testing. But it's also an opportunity for kids to really do something that you know, they can come back 10 years later and say, I planted that tree. So we were excited about that. We also, in terms of right-of-ways and other land, it came to our attention about 4 years ago that pollinators, and particularly monarch numbers, had dropped substantially, and that they were on the brink of collapse, the population was. And so we talked collectively about what we could do locally about pollinators and, you know, could we make an impact somehow? Because, you know, we are a group of foresters that and arborists that we love trees.
Yeah, you're about the environment as a whole.
We
the
are.
Trees are a big part of that.
We are. That's right. So we got with some folks from Smithsonian Conservation Biology Institute, which is right down the road, and said, okay, so I think we want to plant a pollinator garden at our office in Front Royal. What do we do?
Yeah, where does one start with that?
Because we know trees. We don't necessarily know flowers. So there was a lady that met with us and said, you know what? Think kind of larger. Think in terms of not just something that's for monarchs, because we all like monarchs and we love the story about the monarchs commute from here to Mexico every year and then they breed and then they come back. And she said, think about plants that are going to bloom from April to October. Mm-hmm. And that way you're not just going to affect monarchs, because one in every three bites of food that we put in our mouth relies on pollinators to sustain themselves. Long story short, we put in a garden in our Blue Ridge office. And then it went so well that we put in another two. And that was at our Culpeper office and at our Bowling Green office. And then we said, okay, where do we put the big one? It's got to go at the company headquarters. And so we were given permission to do that. And they're all three doing well and they're healthy. I'm down at the company headquarters now in Fredericksburg, and I got to see some, it's called Mountain Mint. And it was just covered in bees the last 2 weeks. Even the 100 degree days, they don't apparently care.
They love the Mountain Mint. And I will warn you that that stuff spreads like wildfire.
Yeah. It worked out well because we have some little friends that like to help us eat the pollinator garden in our Fredericksburg office.
Perfect. Yes.
Yeah. And they happen not to like Mountain Mint. So we finally found something that they weren't going to eat, and we're really happy.
I will tell you the other upside, and I learned this from having Master Gardeners on my radio show. Uh-huh. They also help keep away mosquitoes and the biters because of the mint smell that they put off. So that's the other added bonus.
Right.
Pollinators aren't something people would normally think of when they're thinking of trees and vegetation with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna stay on that for a minute and ask you something a little weird. So when you guys are out and you're doing these tree trimmings and you're doing inspections and you're clearing vegetation, have you ever come across something that's like, wait, what? Do you find like hidden cabins in the woods? Do you find weird stuff that you would never expect to see as you're out just doing your regular job?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was one of the foresters up here in Blue Ridge out of the Front Row office for 6 years. And I always used to say, no day is the same. I'm never, ever bored. I ran across zebras and camels and llamas and alpacas. And I ran across many, many cabins and old cemeteries in the woods that have just not been maintained. I ran across rare plants like pitcher plants and foresters, so I can kind of geek out on that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, you had me at zebras, because what?
Yeah. We have some members that keep interesting animals. We also have a lot of folks, and I know I'm probably preaching to the choir because you already know this, that have worked all over the world, and they've chosen this area to retire to. The members themselves are the most interesting folks ever. I met several Secret Service agents. Mm-hmm. I met a couple of ambassadors. I met several authors. And of course, you know, you run into these folks probably on a daily basis. But for us to be on their property, you know, managing vegetation, trimming trees and clearing brush and that kind of thing, it's kind of a different interaction. One of the most interesting things is that I could be walking for spans and spans and spans because my job was to inspect the work after it was done, an auditor. Mm-hmm. And I would feel like someone was watching me from time to time. And I'd look over my shoulder and I'd see a game camera.
Uh-huh.
And they were everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah, which was new for me. So, you know, it just kind of kept it interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And I say that my husband has 8 of them on our property up in Fort Valley.
Oh, they're so cool.
Yeah. So you never really know.
But isn't it funny how that sixth sense works?
You just kind of knew that was there.
Yeah.
Wrapping up today, if somebody wants to reach out to you or they want to get more information about the vegetation management program, what is the easiest, best way for them to do that if they didn't get a postcard in the mail?
Yeah, if they didn't get a postcard, there's so many ways they can get in touch with us. It's awesome. If they have kind of a detailed question or they, you know, want to get some additional information, they can call 800-552-3904. They can also email. They can always reach out to us through Smart Hub. You can contact us through Facebook. That's kind of one of a rare way that people contact us, but it still works. It goes to our public relations department and they get it over to the right person, usually me, and then I send it to somebody else. And then, of course, there's always yellow trucks. So if you see us, we're a pretty friendly bunch. Come up and introduce yourself. We love to meet our members.
Fantastic. Well, Cindy, thanks for chatting with me for a little bit today.
Thank
I've
you.
Learned a lot.
Oh, good. Well, thanks so much.